On today's Hot Zone, we're going to talk about what's going on in Hong Kong. It's been absolute chaos there for months and months now. And we've got an inside source. That's war correspondent Michael Young, coming up right now.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for being a part of the Hot Zone. I've got Michael Young on the line with me from Hong Kong. Michael, welcome to the show and thanks for being with us.
Hello, Chuck. Hello from beautiful Hong Kong. It's about 8:46 in the morning here, and the sun is up. It's kind of chilly out. I was just walking around outside in the area where many of the protests occur here on Nathan Road.
So there have been months and months of protests, and we're talking very violent protests. There've even been some deaths, violent on both sides. Can you just give our listeners a breakdown of basically what started this, what's causing it, and why has it gone on for so long?
Well, what causes it, in a nutshell, you'll hear, you know, the mainstream media often say it's about the extradition bill, but that's kind of nonsense. It's like saying that the riots in Los Angeles were about the Rodney King beating. You know, it was really about something much, much bigger and longer, right? And so you know, it's really bottom line is communist China is trying to take over Hong Kong, just like they're trying to take over many parts of the world, including eventually the world. And so Hong Kong is one of their intermediate steps. And many people reflexively say, hey, but Hong Kong is China, and they'll be wrong. But anyway, back to the current situation, you know, in 1997, Britain handed over Hong Kong to communist China, which they had no right to do, right? And so the Chinese are inch by inch breaking their original agreement to take over Hong Kong completely in 2047. You know, the one country, two systems idea that they proposed for years. And they've been violating that agreement ever since it was signed. And so the Hong Kongers are a freedom-loving people. They're more like Americans than anything else. You see American flags here waving all the time, which drives China absolutely insane. And the United States is the only country that's really come to bat for Hong Kong, actually. When the House and the Senate both passed the Human Rights and Democracy Act, and then President Trump, to his great credit, signed off on it on last Thursday, and then immediately erupted here with American flags all over the streets, and it was pretty wonderful, actually. And so that's what it's really about. It's not about the extradition bill. That's just, you know, one of the, it could have been any straw that broke the camel's back.
So this is kind of fits into their whole Belt and Road system, and basically China's intent to project power around the globe. And this is one big step for them. But there's been a lot of people that have been absolutely crushed. Now, here's the thing that I it kind of confuses me a little bit. Hong Kongers are extremely polite people, even the police. And so when I watch the press briefings that the police give, they seem very rational, very polite, very, you know, look, we're just trying to keep the order here and everything. And if you didn't know better, you'd see that and you'd go, well, the police are the good guys in this scenario, but I've heard and watched your reporting from there, and you say that is definitely not the case. Give us a little more explanation about why.
Well, I mean, the police do look very polite, and you know, if you want to compare them to, say, you know, Tiananmen Square, they've been very, very polite. But they have right in front of me, right outside my window. Heck, just on November 18th, like 100 meters from where I'm standing right now, sitting right now, there was a policeman pointing an M16 rifle, preparing to fire it at protesters. And I've got video, that's HD video, right on my YouTube and Facebook. I was live streaming it. He was right in front of me, like double arms distance away, preparing to shoot protesters. And so, and the protesters are not, they haven't killed anybody. they throw huge amounts of Molotovs. Like on November 18th, they threw at least 1,000 Molotovs, but they weren't throwing them onto the police. They throw them as a buffer between the police. And I call them the liberators, not the protesters, but the liberators. They were just making it was a tremendous like fire show with, when I say 1,000 Molotovs, that's very conservative. Realistically, if I were going to really guess, I would say probably 2,000. You know, just for the same night, I also estimated that it was at least 1,000 tear gas that the police shot. And then a couple days later, the police said it was like 1,500 and something. So that was all the same battle, rubber bullets flying everywhere, beanbag rounds, which let me tell you, they hurt. I've been hit a couple times. And all kinds of all the other munitions, but nothing, no ball ammunition. But in reality, what some people would call protesters, what Beijing would call radical terrorists, what I call straight up liberators, they like something right out of the American Revolution, except a lot more peaceful than our forefathers and my grandfathers who fought in the revolution. They don't want to fight. They want to be in school. They want to be making money. Hong Kongers are all about education, making money, doing family stuff. You know what I mean? They're not like natural revolutionaries like Americans are.
That's one reason why it's so surprising to me.
Fight, you know what I mean? We're ready to go fight. They're ready to go like make money and go to school. You know what I mean?
That's one reason why this is also surprising, because when I was in Hong Kong, I was struck by just how peaceable the people are, how safe it was there. You didn't see – I'm watching these people now run down the streets, spray painting everything, breaking windows, just – and – I have a kind of an inherent revulsion for anyone who destroys the work of another man's hand. And so it's hard for me to reconcile watching these people go down the street, breaking windows, spray painting things, destroying the subway system. But are you saying there's a method to their madness? They're doing this because they have to?
Absolutely, because I'm the same way you are. I like, what are you doing breaking windows? You know, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? What are you doing spray painting graffiti on walls, right? But at the same time, then you come look at it, or you look at our history, Boston Tea Party as an example, and so many examples that led to our own revolution. Or let's look at Poland in the 80s, where the United States supported Poland. And one of the things that the Polish did was huge strikes and civil disruption. And then we helped Poland by actually sanctioning their economy, just what we're preparing to do with Hong Kong, right? So that's unfortunately a part of the process. You know, if you got gangrene, you might have to do some amputation. And that's what's happening here. Communism is the gangrene. And they don't want to, because these are super Chuck, they don't even really know how to fight. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't even, like, they throw all these Molotovs. I've almost been hit many times now, at least 20 at this point. And sometimes when they see they almost hit you, they come and run out and apologize, because they throw like 14-year-old girls, man. They didn't grow up playing baseball. They don't know how to fight physically. You know what I mean? They don't know how to actually – they're not into lethal combat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they know how to fight well with their minds. They're very good, because in their messaging, they got great artists here. In their messaging, they've got their message back to Americans. Look, you and me are talking about it. You're back in America, and I'm a Hong Kong, and we're two Americans, right? And they got the House and the Senate and President Trump all to vote for or sign off on the Human Rights and Democracy Act, and they did that in 5 months. They did that since only June. That's record time for our government, right? Mm-hmm. And so they don't fight well physically. Like a couple of weeks ago, one shot an arrow and hit a policeman in the leg. You know, that's about it. You know what I mean? I mean, in reality, they don't. And sometimes they'll beat up people that attack them, like attack them with a car. You might see some video of the protesters or liberators occasionally beating up somebody. It's called a Si Liu, which means lion bird. It's just self-defense, because the police aren't going to help them. They don't do it much, but it happens. But otherwise, and they throw a lot of Molotovs and throw a lot of bricks. But in reality, how many cops have been hurt? One guy got shot in the leg with an arrow, you know? That's about it. And he was okay, right? I mean, there's really, they don't, I mean, you know, a bow and arrow. I mean, what kind of rifles do you have? What if police were doing this to Americans, right?
Yeah, if this thing was happening in Dallas, it'd be a whole different story. without a doubt.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Bow and arrows would be the worst last thing on the menu.
Right. Did somebody yell, circle the wagons when that happened?
Exactly, man. It was like an arrow hit him in the leg. I found a couple of those bows. I found a couple after that siege on Poly U. It's the Polytechnic University. It was a siege that lasted maybe 11-ish days or something like that. And I went in there right after the siege ended, and I spent hours live streaming, you know, inside of the Poly U. And I found a couple bows and some arrows. I found two bows and arrows in three different places. I found two bows, and then I found arrows in three different places. But that was it. It's not like they had, you know, 500 sets of bows and arrows. And they build these catapults, man, like trebuchets and catapults and these giant slingshots. They'll tie rubber bands between two big signposts. So you can imagine it's pretty big, right? And you have to lean back, and they try to shoot the slingshot. Chuck, they didn't grow up shooting slingshots here. I mean, they'll kill themselves with those slingshots. You know what I mean? You know when you're a kid and you're growing up with a slingshot, and you shoot it wrong and it hits you in the face. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the way they are here. They don't know how to, like, their grandfather never taught them how to shoot a slingshot. They just don't know how to do violence.
There's something to be really said for fostering the warrior spirit in your sons, without a doubt.
Man, like they can't even throw a baseball, man. There was an American out teaching them how to throw stuff a few weeks ago at one of the university sieges. He was teaching them how to throw with some American student. It was on video. He was teaching them how to throw like rocks and Molotovs and stuff. Because, man, you know how when you like play golf, and I'm not a good golf player, but you hit it and it splices off, you know, 30 degrees, you know? That's the way they do, man. You're throwing a Molotov and you think it would go straight and it like goes off at like 45 degrees.
That's scary.
Ridiculous, man.
That's scary.
How does the physics even work out? So if you're anywhere in front of them, like in that cone, and they're starting to throw, you need to get behind them. But then they throw them over each other's heads, too. Like, there'll be, like, you know, four rows of people in front of them. And listen, in the last big fighting on April, there was some fighting last night, actually. But on the last really, really big fighting, November 18th, which was happening right outside here where I'm at, one of the medics here, his name is Cody Houdeshell. He's American. He's 23 years old. Super good guy. He said he and his medics treated about 20 of the liberators who caught each other on fire with their Molotovs, like 20. Mm. And I've almost been hit with about 20 of those things.
Right.
So, I mean, luckily they're not like, they don't know how to like make napalm and stuff like that. So the burns generally have not been too bad, but you know, it's go to the hospital burns, you know?
Right. For sure. So, I see in the video a whole lot of, journalists covering this, but I don't see a ton of it actually making it to the mainstream media. Are these local journalists that are covering this, or are they from just other places in the world that you know, care more than the United States does about anything other than impeaching Trump?
Yeah. Well, yesterday I spent some hours talking with a Polish journalist. He was covering Ukraine and some other places. France. Man, he told me in France the police were beating him up over there. He's like, the police in Hong Kong are nice compared to the French police. He was showing me where they beat him up in France, like beat him with their nightsticks. I was like, really? Did they know you were a journalist? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, when there was no protesters around in France, the police would come beat the journalist. I was like, holy smokes. That's funny because a French journalist told me that like about 4 or 5 days ago. We were on the street and she's like, oh, hello, you again. How are you? You know, with her French accent. And she's like, we must cover this because they're doing worse even than France, you know?
Wow.
And so I was like, really? French are that bad?
What would you say is the end game here? What happens out of this in Hong Kong?
Oh, brother, you know how this goes. Nobody knows. If I did not sense that there, you know, a good chance of success, I would not come. Because I wouldn't be worth risking my life and freedom if it's no chance at all, right? That's why I'm not out with the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. There's not going to be success made there, right? Yeah. But I do believe there's a good chance for success here, just like there was with Poland in the 80s. And I believe that that success in Hong Kong is highly dependent on our undermining the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese separating Chinese people from Chinese Communist Party. You know, they're two different things. You know, the Chinese Communist Party tries to conflate, you know, China with the Chinese Communist Party, and they're two separate things. The Chinese Communist Party is like a mafia, right? I mean, it's completely criminal. It's completely criminal.
Yeah.
But we undermined, we and our friends in Poland and many others, we undermined the Soviet Union's economy and their prestige and whatnot. And finally, they collapsed. So we didn't actually beat them on the battlefield, right? We beat them on the chessboard. And that's the way we can and are starting to beat China. We're starting to beat China. It's very clear. They're not beaten yet. They're still dangerous. They got their legs. They're on the ropes. But they got their legs, and right now you can see them even threatening yesterday, revoking visas for American, diplomats and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They're on the ropes. Remember, just a year ago, they were like, "We will crush you in a trade war and all this." And right now, Trump didn't blink, and we are crushing them in the trade war. We're crushing them.
Yeah, they have a whole lot really more to lose than we do.
Oh yeah, it's not really a trade war. It's a larger war against CCP. And the trade is one of the battlegrounds. Trade is one of the battles in the larger war. And we are clearly succeeding in the on the trade battleground. And Trump has reversed. You know how the communists are? Fight, talk, 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 fight, fight, fight. Mm-hmm. That's their old motto that goes back for generations. Talk, 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 fight, fight, fight. That's how you end up with North Korea. You know, one generation goes by, oh, we're just about to come to terms with North Korea or Iran or whatever. And then it's all negotiations in April, and negotiations in June have been put off till October now. You know, and then it's next year, oh, we're negotiations after the next election. And before you know it, they got atomic bombs, right? Because they're doing talk, 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 fight, 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 fight. And that's what China has done with us on IP, intellectual property, and other things. They're like, okay, yes, we'll do, you know, we'll take actions against intellectual property. We need to hammer out the details in June or whatever, right? And then the next thing you know, it's 10 years later, and they've ripped off, you know, hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars in U.S.
intellectual property
assets, and we've lost jobs and market share around the world.
Right.
And so now Trump has reversed that on him. He's like, trade negotiations coming up. Oh, you just did this thing. Here's another 5%. You know, whatever. You know, it's like, and so he's actually doing the talk, 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 fight, 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 and it's driving him nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, Michael Young, thank you very much for your input on this. I mean, you've been in Hong Kong for what, 4 or 5 months now? I mean, you've been basically just living there, covering this nonstop, and
just
I really
you.
Appreciate that. You've been laying it on the line out there. You've been in some pretty hairy situations. You are my kind of guy, that's for sure. All right.
We're Americans, man. There's
that's
a reason why our forefathers got independence. It's because they're ready to fight.
Yeah.
And they will volunteer to fight. They don't have to be grabbed and dragged over to the fight. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for being a part of the Hot Zone. Folks, if you want to watch more of Michael Young's reporting, best thing you can do is go to Facebook and watch him there. Look him up. He's also, you can support him on patreon.com and elsewhere, PayPal, Venmo, everywhere else like that. He is one of the very few journalists that is not beholden to some big media corporation. He does it all on a shoestring, and he does it on your donations. So you ought to help him out if you can. Thanks for being a part of it, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Chuck.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.